Cape Talk, new beginnings.
Noel, you'll know that reading and promoting a culture of reading and literacy is something that we are all passionate about on this show. We are firm believers in the transformative power of books to open your mind to new experiences, to inspire you, to give you a perspective on somebody else's belief system, and maybe encourage you to try something new. In some cases, though, it can be more dramatic than that, and a book can inspire someone to change their life for the better. Our next guests are people who believe in the power of reading just as much as we do, and in fact, they've chosen to celebrate the cerebral by getting physical with a motto of Ride to Read. Lindsay van der Bael is with me in studio, as well as Tabisa Gada. They have just cycled all the way from Pretoria to Cape Town, and we're delighted to welcome them both to the studio. We've given them a chair so they can put their feet up, because they are both looking a little tired, I have to say. Welcome to both of you. Congratulations on finishing the trip, and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Fupa.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the platform.
It's our pleasure.
Afternoon to the listeners.
Lindsay, this begins with you. It's called Cycle for Change, and I know it's not the first time you've undertaken this epic journey, but tell us a little bit about your early story and what got you to found Cycle for Change.
Okay, so reading is, we've got a hashtag that we're pushing that says reading is life, because we believe the importance of reading is only next to oxygen. So anyone going even to work would get lost if they can't read the road signs. So anything that you do has to involve the reading, whether you're doing research, whether you're into music, anything that you do goes around reading. So I think it's particularly important. And for me, why it's so close to my heart is that, so I grew up in the Eastern Cape, and I grew up speaking Afrikaans and isiXhosa. So my first day at school was actually the most horrible. I was registered into an English class, and I couldn't speak the language at all. Cool. And so I needed to go to the toilet, and I was like, "Yeah, bro, can I toilet do?" And the teacher like, "Speak English in my class."
Ooh.
And obviously, because I couldn't, I then had to turn to one of my classmates and say, "Please ask the teacher on my behalf." And then the teacher's like, "Don't get involved. Let him ask himself." So I realized that I was like in a corner. Sure. And what I did was I measured the distance between my desk and the door and the teacher's desk and the door. And I decided to run out of the class. And on coming back, the teacher actually insulted me. But because I couldn't understand English, it wasn't something that I took to heart. But what I did take to heart was the fact that the whole class was laughing. And I knew that that couldn't be something nice if everyone's laughing at me. And the following day, they transferred me to an Afrikaans class where I automatically fitted in because it was my language that I spoke at home. And that thing sat in my mind. And when I got into that Afrikaans class, I started reading a lot. So if I can remember the book, I think it was Boetie en Saartjie. So I ended up reading, and I finished my books in sub A to the extent where in sub A I was already reading sub B books.
Yeah.
And then when I was in sub B, I was reading standard one books. So when everyone was reading in standard one, there was no more books for me to read. So I ended up drawing and having free time when I was in class. But the beautiful thing about it was that when I got to standard one, I could speak English. So the three little pigs and so forth, those kind of books like literally helped me to speak another language. And I got started getting so inquisitive that even when I pick up a newspaper, I'd ask my grand like, "Who say me and word? What me and word?" And then on the subtitles as well, "Okay, how do you say that word?" And I think ever since that, I've just developed this love for reading that it can help you develop yourself without the help of others. I mean, we have a lot of people that can't attend varsities, but I always say a university is a building. Whatever is in that building, you'll find in the library as well. So you can still get the same knowledge that people are paying hundreds and thousands of rand for. You can get it for free at the library. But we live in a society where libraries are no more cool. I mean, the memberships of libraries has gone down. And like, I get sad when people burn down libraries, because especially when it's parents, because how do you say you want your child to have a better life than you, but you are denying them the opportunity to access the things that you couldn't access back in the days? And that's why we first talk about it during the cycle, and then we be about it. So then we actually go out and get books to then donate over. So that's basically where the idea came about. And like with everything, you always have challenges. I mean, the idea came about in 2013, but I only implemented it last year because, like I said, I'm human. I also have fears and doubts. And every year I would just keep asking myself, what if I did it 2040? What if I did it 2015? And I just said, no more what ifs. Let me just do it. If it fails, then it fails. Then maybe it's not for me. But if it succeeds, the impact that it'll have on other people is enormous. And then it no more becomes my brainchild. It then becomes something that will inspire other young people to start what it is that they've always been thinking about. Because I think we have a situation in this country where people that should be entrepreneurs are in jobs, and people that should be working are out of jobs because these entrepreneurs are so scared to leave their 9-to-5s. They want that comfort zone. And then you have people that don't have the entrepreneurial aptitude sitting at home now waiting for the entrepreneurs who are in 9-to-5s to get out so that they can get in. So I think we're still taking too little risks. And if you research it, the countries that are the most productive in all sectors are the countries that read the most. And we read way too little for a country that needs development.
Let me bring Tabisa in at this point. You've been waiting patiently to have your say. It's fascinating hearing from Lindsay how Cycle for Change came about and the clear passion that motivated him to get on a bicycle and say, we're going to ride from Pretoria to Cape Town. We're going to raise money to donate books at the end of it. But along the way, Tabisa, you stopped, you gave motivational talks, you engaged with people around the issue of reading. Tell us a little bit about the kind of places you visited.
The places that we visited were places that, you know, when you're in a car, you take for granted. And when you're in a bicycle and you're passing through those places, it's not places that you can take for granted. It's places that I've always passed by coming to Cape Town when I'm coming to Cape Town on holiday, but I've never really looked at them the same way that I looked at them now. And it's places where the people there really needed services like your libraries, really needed that one person to say, listen, this is how my life changed. From this place, it changed from this. And through reading, I was able to break down a barrier that I had prior to that. So, yeah, the places we went from Pretoria, we went to Sasolburg, Kroonstad, Welkom, Bloemfontein, your Worcesters, towns that I've never even thought about going into. So, yeah, it's...
And how well received were you? So what are they? Here are these two crazy guys who cycling when there's no need to do it. Were people intrigued by the message you were sharing? Do you think the fact that you were doing this crazy thing helped sell the message that you were trying to sell?
It really did. It really did, because what happened is when you get to a garage or a place where we were stopping to eat or something, when you start telling people that you actually cycled from Pretoria and now they see that you are in a Laingsburg, for example, they tell you that, no, you guys are crazy. And then when you start showing them your proof that, listen, here's the proof. Yesterday we were at this place. Today we are at this place. We're going to sleep over at this place. And the destination is Cape Town. Then people start getting interested, calling their friends that, dude, come listen to what these guys are saying. They cycle from Cape Town. This is what they're doing. So that, for one, is something that was very great for me.
Okay. Lindsay, I know for you, I mean, you've spoken to us about what reading did for you in terms of broadening your mind and exposing you to language skills. I can't let the opportunity go, though, for you to tell us there's more to the story than this, that. I know that you had your wobbles as a youngster. You had your own struggles with alcohol in particular. What role did reading play in helping you move away from that lifestyle?
So, yeah, as you alluded, and it's not a story that I'm particularly proud of, but I'm proud to share it because I've done a 360 degree turn on my life. And I know out there there's a child or there's a parent that's listening. And you know, I mean, I was raised by my granny, and even when I had given up on my life, when I was just, when I told myself I was done, my granny had hope in me. And she saw what's happening now in my life. She saw back then and I couldn't see it. I just thought, no, I'm done with this life. I've even tried committing suicide, as early as 2013. So, you know, for me, I've always found refuge in libraries. I mean, when I was in my junior high, primary, when I started doing sports, competitively, I was in athletics and I always find myself in the library. And I think the book that I always go back to is a book that I read in Standard 3. And I still remember the contents thereof, because when I look at a person like Wade van Niekerk, it brings back those memories, because they can take, people can rob you, they can steal from you, they can take whatever they want, but knowledge they can't steal out of your brain. And I remember the book is called Slaying the Dragon. It's by Michael Johnson. And that is the reason why today in athletics, the 200 meters and the 400 meters are apart, because those are events that used to be very close to each other. But because Michael Johnson wanted to break both records, he managed to convince the IAAF to actually move the events so that he would be able then to actually attempt defeat. And he got it right. And that's why I'm always behind when Wade says he wants to break the record. It just brings back memories of me sitting in the library and reading that book.
Amazing. Now, before we run out of time, I have to ask you about the journey itself, because I know last year during this cycle, you had a bit of a rough time. You got frostbite, you were robbed, you were witness to some real ups and downs. How did it go this year?
It was actually attempted. So the frostbite part, yeah. Even when I got back to Joburg, I could still feel like there was ice cubes in my hands. But the robbery was attempted. So okay. It was, I was literally assisted by a good Samaritan who actually was just taking a wild drive and is like, look, these guys are plotting you. And he stopped. So it happened on the Tweed's Kloof, which is in the middle of nowhere. Mm. And it would so happen that these guys drove past me and they went up the mountain knowing that I'm not allowed to cycle through the tunnel. And they waited for me, thinking that, no, they're going to rob me and take the bike and everything. But this guy came in and said, you know what? I drove past and I saw something is not right here. And when I turned around, it seemed as if I was your escort vehicle. And then that made the guys leave. So lucky I didn't get robbed. And then, yeah, so that was last year. But even this year, we still have challenges. But I think for me to put the challenges out there is a very important thing, because a lot of people quit with whatever it is that they do once they get challenges. I mean, like, for instance, with cycling, it's a very expensive sport. Mm. And last year when I almost got robbed, the bike wasn't mine. So Northcliffe Cycles literally loaned me the bike to say, this is your dream, do it. Once you're done, bring the bike back. But lucky when I brought the bike back, they said, okay, you know what? You've done well. You can keep the bike. So that enabled me to continue cycling. And I put in a lot more work than last year. But, you know, sometimes things don't go as you plan them. And we were dropped by our most strategic sponsor. And we had a decision to make. Do we go ahead or do we cancel? And we said, look, this thing is bigger than anyone. We're dealing here with a national crisis of illiteracy. And we just said, you know what? We're going. We don't know where we're going to sleep. We don't know what we're going to eat. Along the way, we were sleeping sometimes at police stations on the floor, just so that we can wake up the following day, refresh and continue the journey. So for us, it was more about speaking to the thousands of people along the route where we were going, and then just getting the message across there, getting the message across. Let's start reading. Let's start reading.
What a powerful message it is that's clearly helped transform your life. And we're so delighted to have had you with us today, sharing that inspiration with our listeners. Tabiso, thank you as well for being with us. And that passion is what has seen Lindsay declared a Lead SA hero by our colleagues at 702. And I can't say I'm surprised. It's the Cycle for Change. Is there a website we can direct listeners to if they'd like to help?
Definitely. So our website is www.cycle and then the numeral 4, change, and then .bike. So it's cycleforchange.bike. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at C4C_ZA. And then people can call or WhatsApp us if they want to get involved on 084 835 0844-835-6233. So the number again, 0844-835-6233. And so after now the Cycle for Change is done, it's we're on to donate a book. So we're encouraging people to get in touch with us on our website. There's a contact form. Should they wish to donate books or any financial donations and so forth to assist us in going forward, so they can get in touch with us.
Lindsay, thank you so much. To be so great to have you with us as well. And best of luck to you.
Thank you, Papa.